Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Live from Bruno Cheyroux's house, the night we've all been waiting for. The stars of the series have descended. Michael Owen, Darren Huckabee, Andy Crabb, Jane Goodall. It's the Football Book Club End of Season Awards.
Hey! Book!
Hello and welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each week we read another footballer's autobiography. Less George Orwell, more Paul Thirlwell. And thanks to John Slingsby for that one. Jack, you're not happy. It's the last of the series. Come on. You got...
No, it's fine.
Was that a fake laugh? Or
No. I've come to accept the level.
Oh,
the
my bar. Word.
Oh. Wow. I tell you what, Jack, you do better.
Yeah, you do better. No, we've also been over this before. You can't do anything.
I refuse to engage with the premise.
Well, you've got the off season to think up a few, Jack. And if you don't come up with some good ones, I'm getting John Slingsby on the show instead. In your spot. I'm James Buck, and today it's time for something a little different. It's the end of season awards. Hooray! Where we crown the best, the worst, and the very weirdest moments from the footballers' autobiographies we've read this series. And joining me to do so are Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
Natasha Daniels.
Hello.
And James Baljan.
It's wild, it's crazy. We don't say hi anymore. We say bull, bull, bull.
James is a turkey now. Welcome to the Football Book Club End of Season Awards, guys. Well, how... Everyone's looking so glamorous. By the way, people are genuinely all dressed up. Jack's wearing a lovely suit. Yeah. James wearing a lovely suit. Tash looks like Taylor Swift crossed with John Motson. It's brilliant. She's kind of got a microphone in her hands.
That's the ultimate for a lot of people, I think.
It is.
Taylor Swift.
It is.
People go into gyms and say, I want the body physique of Taylor Swift mixed with John Motson, please. And
it's probably a category on Pornhub these days, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. The player's gonna play.
So, I'm more of an Ariana Grande, Jonathan Pierce search kind of guy. It's my kind of thing. I like to... Also, I'd love to imagine what people think I mean by Taylor Swift meets John Motson as the image. That could be any. It could be any look. Any look could come up.
Tash is in a big sheepskin coat. That's what we're trying to say.
I'm sweating.
Sweating.
On the hottest day of the year so far.
I can't believe we've decided to record today in our suits.
I know. Oh, it's hot. Oh my word. It is hot. Has everyone got the booze? Everyone got their complimentary glass of wine provided to us?
Got to drink booze at an awards ceremony, haven't you?
You got to. That's the whole point. I mean, to be honest, the last two episodes have just been us drinking, to be honest. So let's see what that's
true. And you know what? I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you guys are excited because it's book number 4 of the Michael Owen quadrilogy. That's what we're doing today.
What?
No.
It's reboot. That's what we're doing today. Good news, guys.
No.
It's about the past 6 months. How he's been getting on with Lady Etienne.
James, if this is true, you're about to get a sizable invoice from me.
Well, I didn't say it. Jack said it.
There's a 9th film, so...
No, what we're doing today, as you mentioned, is dishing out some awards. Everyone's looking very glamorous. Should we get started with the ceremony?
Yeah.
Oh God, is there an actual ceremony?
Yeah, there is. There's awards. There's everything. There's originally going.
Is there music?
There will be now. I'm gonna, in the time between recording and the editing, I'm gonna find some kind of royalty free music to play in this segment. So let's react to it.
Wow, I can't.
Dum da da dum dum da.
Wow. God, what an appropriate reaction I'm having right now.
Thank you so much for having us here.
Let's start the bloody ceremony. Okay, so over the show, in today's ceremony, we're going to be giving out several highly coveted awards to our nominees, which are books that you've read this series, ending on the biggest prize of all, the Darren Huckabee's Boot, which is awarded to the best book of the series. How long do you think we can keep that in-joke going? Because that's been going from episode one of Football Book Club.
It was... for people who actually, you know what, people who don't know that in joke, go back and listen. You know what, I'm not going to tell you.
No, I think we should tell people because it's okay.
Didn't he gift it to a mysterious benefactor at Norwich Football Club?
Yeah, he gave his boot, which he scored a goal against Nottingham Forest or something, to that. And yeah, since then, and it's been the stuff
after
of
wedding.
Yeah, at a wedding, I think that kind of stinky old boot in a pile of things there.
In my mind, he came directly off the pitch into the wedding, took his boot off, and gave it to the groom. Is that what happened? It probably isn't what happened.
I think that's exactly what... I think she wore the boot and one of her, like, heels going down the aisle.
That first dance was rough. It was real rough, let me tell you.
I just hope today can be half as glitzy as the Sunderland Red and White Bull, which you mentioned in the Kevin Phillips book. That is the aim.
Yeah.
But first up, guys, are you ready for today's first prize?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's early in the ceremony. We've barely sat down at our chair.
I'll be honest, the whole show is the ceremony. There's no introductory monologue. I mean, that's kind of it. That's what we just kind of did. I guess that is
sure.
The, I mean,
there's no Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
I don't think we'll be getting the Oscars next year, but, this is all an audition for the job. So the first prize is a big one, actually, to kick us off, because I thought, you know, start us off in a good place. Prize one is for most dramatic reading. I want to know, guys, what was the most dramatic reading? I have all the dramatic readings in all the books you've read this series. Any suggestions to kick us off?
I mean, pretty much all of Alan Hansen's book was dramatic reading, wasn't it? Every single page was like...
Did we have a dramatic reading in the Hansen episode?
I don't think we did because it was so...
It was just so hard to...
Harrowing.
So
harrowing is probably the word.
I would say that it's not dramatic because effectively every moment of drama in that book was undercut by a statistic.
Okay, so that's the winner of the least dramatic. What about the... the actual prize, Anne? Most dramatic reading. What was everyone's favourite dramatic read in this series?
I was a big fan... I don't think we've ever had a player being held up at gunpoint before in any dramatic reading at all, really. I think that has to be quite close. Dean Windass's
was pretty good, yeah.
Oh,
that was
God, Dean Windass, where he was sitting in the changing room at Oxford, and then a man comes in, half cut, holding a gun, and says, "Which one of you is called Dean Windass?" Waving a gun about in his face.
You are neglecting to mention Naked Barry Fry, though.
Oh!
That was quite Barry something Fry. In Karen Brady's book.
Another good that contender arrives. Naked Barry Fry makes Jose Dominguez cry from back in the Karen Brady.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned, these guys, we will play some clips throughout the episode, but some of them, go back and listen to the episode. You can enjoy them, hopefully.
Well, we can also try and reenact them right now.
Yeah. I'll take my clothes off.
We can try and merge
I'll
the
take
two
my clothes
together.
Off and, like, yeah, you
I'll get a
cry.
Gun.
James, do you have a favourite in the series?
So I haven't been able to get out of my head Michael Owen in a restaurant and some Everton fan shouting at him. He clearly edited what he'd said. Not because it was my favourite dramatic reading, just because it was nothing.
He said,
I'm glad someone's mentioned it because that was a cracker. That was one of my favourites.
Liverpool are rubbish. Everton are the best over and over again. In front of Jamie Carragher and Michael Owen.
I think it was the shortest and one of my favourites. And that was when he was out for dinner with Louise Redknapp and Jamie Redknapp, I think. Or Louise, not Redknapp anymore. I don't know what she's called.
just Louise. She's just like Louise. York these days.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Who Jamie York, Redknapp's going Cheryl, out with now, Louise. Weirdly. Jamie and Bjork, what a beautiful couple. Owen, Brady, Windass, I'm going to throw my last contender into there, which I think is the best one. I think you'll all agree with me. Steve Bruce has to be the most dramatic reading we've ever done. Steve Bruce, what was it? He got arrested in a phone booth.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
So those are the options. Karen Brady, Dean Windass, Michael Owen, Steve Bruce. What are we going for? James?
It's got to be Bruce, hasn't it?
I'm going Bruce as well. I think it has to be Bruce. Jack?
Really, my vote's irrelevant at this point. Well,
Jack, we could stage a coup here and make it a draw.
Yeah, you could.
But no, I'm going Bruce too, because come on, that was amazing.
Do you know what? I'm going Bruce as well.
It's a clean sweep.
there are fights we're going to have later on. I'm going to save my powder.
Till after you've had another punk
yeah. IPA. Wow, a rare consensus on Football Book Club. The winner of most dramatic reading of the series is Steve Bruce. Let's hear it. Right, okay, you brought me on very nicely to this week's dramatic reading, because I know a lot of us, because we have a WhatsApp group, as you mentioned a few times, and people, you guys were struggling, I saw from afar. However, I knew you hadn't reached one section yet, because there was one bit which blew my mind, and I knew that it would be something which we were all going to talk about. So it's time for this week's dramatic reading. Can someone cue the dramatic music, please?
I think this might be the most dramatic reading.
It genuinely is dramatic. That's true.
It really is. It might be the best
thing. Maybe it's because it comes out of nowhere, but it is.
Can someone cue the dramatic music?
I think, James, it should be you.
Cue dramatic music. And it involves Janet.
It does involve Janet.
Team Janet. Hints.
This week's dramatic reading is called Steve Bruce, Master Criminal. This is not the first time that I'd found myself in court. Oh yeah, so we should probably give a bit of context. At this point, he's having a bit of a dealing with his first agent who doesn't deal very well with him, so he goes to court with him.
Yep. Very quickly, the court case is still ongoing in the book, so he has to be like, I can't talk about
it. Might still be ongoing now.
It probably is.
27 years later.
But it's so weird how he's like, I have a lot of stuff to say about this, but I can't because it's still ongoing. Like,
wait just, for Heading just for wait Victory 2. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait to write your book, man. Next, just, yeah.
That's very true. Anyway, this is not the first time I found myself in court. Exciting. I have to admit that in my early days with Gillingham, I managed to become the subject of headlines on both the front and back pages of the same edition of the local paper. Okay. I get what he means, right? Okay, I'm with you. I'm an idiot.
This is like 90% of reading this book is, what? Huh? Oh, okay, yeah. I guess that makes sense. Okay.
On the front, the back, and in the middle. During my initial season in the first team, I used to telephone Janet every day. There we go, Janet fans. She's already appeared. Her family was not on the phone at the time, so we arranged for her to be in a cool box at a great time for me to ring her there. It's like he's having like an affair with a spy. It's really exciting. I did not like to use my landlady's telephone box where I would have run up a frightening bill, so I went out to a cool box. On one occasion, I had only a couple of coins available, so when they ran out, I tried reversing the charges to Janet's box. Smart. It worked, so whenever I was a little short of cash, I used the same trick. Nothing.
That is genius, by the way.
Yeah, very clever.
That is such a clever idea.
I told you, a smart footballer.
You have to take your hat off to him. Like, it's illegal.
It became something of a habit, to the extent that the authorities had caught on to what was happening. We got him.
The feds.
Yeah, the feds were watching. The practice was more widespread than I realised, because someone locally had been using a similar dodge to make calls to a box in Sunderland. Determined to find the culprit, the exchange was listed.
I really want to know who that was. Was it Niall Quinn and his girlfriend? Or? Yeah.
Determined to find the culprit, the exchange was listing into reverse call charges from Gillingham to the northeast. What are the chances of that? To get a clue about who was making all these calls. One day I was calling Janet about being sent off during a game against Swindon, and it did not take Sherlock Holmes to deduce from the newspaper reports the next day who had been making the call.
I love that idea. There's someone listening in being like, we got him. He got sent off against Swindon. We know who it is.
When I came to make my next call, the trap had been set. Wow. I reversed the charges, and while we were chatting, I heard sirens in the distance. It's amazing. It's like something in a Hollywood movie, like the sting at the end of the
sirens.
Film.
Sirens.
Yeah. I remarked
phone
there
booth.
Must. Yeah, exactly. Phone booth.
It is phone booth.
I remarked there must be a fire or something in the area, and carried on talking. The sirens came closer and closer, and before I realised what was happening, four police cars and a van roared up outside my telephone box. There was a moment of horrid realisation that I was the target of the manhunt. I just had time to scream to Janet, run, run, they've caught us, before I was now. Run, run, they've caught us.
That is the single greatest line that Steve Bruce has
run,
ever.
Janet, run. That's the new Run Forest Run.
Also, the idea that you would shout that down the phone as the police, are coming up to you.
You ever get, like, budget to do any reenactments?
Definitely
that's the scene that I really want to do.
That's, I mean, to be honest, Steve Bruce might have some free time soon, so he'll probably be able to do it for us.
Hey.
Sorry. Keep him in the job.
Why does she need to run? He's just like, Janet, flush the stash. I'll be in touch.
It sounds, for fundamentally what is the mildest crime that has ever existed, screaming, run, Janet, they've caught us, is the most incriminating thing you can say.
They're like Bonnie and Clyde. I love it.
Yeah. I thought it was a bit excessive to send so many policemen to apprehend someone for making an illegal phone call costing only £50. But that was before that I knew someone was doing the same thing in Sunderland, running up bills of unimaginable proportions.
And Nigel! Then
me and Janet drove off the edge of a cliff, holding each other's hands.
Oh, it's so good.
Incredible. That is the best dramatic reading I think we've had. Yeah. Generally dramatic. Easily. And exciting. Run, Janet, run! I love that story so much. I genuinely... one of my favourite stories. I think that no one knew about Steve Bruce. And
I think what makes it so good is that the rest of the book is, and we admit this freely, very, very bad. It's a very bad book. It's not even insanely bad, but it's like a gem in the middle of a desert.
Yes, I agree.
And you sort of go... Yeah. I can't do anything with this gem because I'm in a desert, but it's nice to look at.
I totally agree, Jack. It is a total gem. And maybe Steve Bruce's book could be a contender later for one of our main awards, worst book of the series, possibly.
Ooh. Oh,
possibly. We'll come to that later, because now it's time for prize two. Most unnecessary product placement, as supported by Glade.
Glade are not going to be happy with supporting this.
No, you're absolutely right. So as you might remember from Craig Bellamy's book, which is with Steph Guerrero of Socialism Sports Bar, that episode, Craig Bellamy talked a lot about, it's not that funny, is a lot of his friends back home sniffing Glade, and it was very... It happened a lot in the book.
It was the fact that he mentioned Glade as like a product placement thing, and the idea of people from Glade looking at that and going, oh no, don't bring us into this.
They used that as an advert. They recreated it. And they said, buy Glade! None of that is true.
Do you think they would send us a box? Not to do that with, just to use in a normal way.
After this kind of promo, this is really good promo for Glade. No one's talking about Glade these days. We're finally doing it. Anyway, has anyone got any nominees for this one? I had some ideas. Jaguar from Michael Owen's book. That has to roll.
God.
The Jaguar XKR, I think it was in particular.
That's got to be one.
That was very
he loved him so much that he bought his dad one. Like,
yes, two Jags
madness.
Terry.
Yeah.
In the first book, of a child's book, just talked about Jaguars for... and not the animals, that makes sense in a kid's book, but like The Lion King.
Well, yeah, but you wouldn't like have a tangent which was, I want to ride a Jaguar.
That could easily have come up in Michael Owen's Q&As. Like,
animal would you most like to ride? A Jaguar.
A Jaguar, probably. I really like the car, and I think I would also like the big cat. Any other suggestions for unnecessary product placement?
I would go for my personal favourite, the Spice World movie.
Yes.
Oh my God, that was good.
That very got quite a bit of coverage.
Alex Ferguson watching that hour and a half film.
Amazing.
I just can't.
How much
that.
Would you pay to watch that like an episode of Gogglebox?
Well, Peter Schmeichel just going,
so much. Yeah.
That's not the real bus jumping. Is that how he talks?
Is that with nail? With nail and eyes there? My product placement, it's not really a product placement in a sense, but it was in Karen Brady's book where they talked about Electrolux. And whether or not they should sell an advertising hoarding to Electrolux just so they can get a vacuum cleaner.
Sport got quite a big mention.
That's true,
in Karen
Daily
Brady's
did, yeah.
as well, didn't it?
As did Borsan. Karen Brady was all about that.
Oh, yes.
Mm. You know, she's always about that coin, you know? She knows how to sell it.
Yeah,
cheese, tits, and cleaning. Such a cliche.
That was the original name of that book. Interesting.
having a good, good name. That would have won an award that's like I'm tonight, the best name book of the series. James, did you have any that you liked?
Yeah, what about Chris Kamara's corner shop? It's not really a product, but...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Or Steve Bruce's card shop.
That he would still be like hulking that. And be like, come, if you're in the area, come to... Oh, yeah, Steve Bruce be like, come to Prostatin. Need a card.
Yeah, in Prostatin, need a birthday card. Come to my shop.
I still want to make that road trip happen where we go to the mall.
Between the two.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Pick up 4 cans of Red Stripe from Chris Kamara's corner shop.
Yeah, and then buy a Sorry For Your Loss card from Prostatin.
Who was it who had a nightclub in Birmingham? Someone had a nightclub.
That was last series, Andy Gray.
Oh, Andy Gray. Oh, yeah. I don't think we want to go to Andy Gray's nightclub,
nice
do we?
Little, nice little stuff. I do.
That's where we were going to be holding the end of season awards, but sadly it closed down 30 years ago. So that has been gone for a while. You know what? I think we've already mentioned the winner here, and it wasn't one I thought was going to come up, but I think Michael Owen's a close second, but because there were so many in Karen Brady's. Karen Brady's whole book is the winner, I think, for that one. A deserved winner. Well done, Karen Brady.
There's a reason she's on The Apprentice. She knows how to push a business.
She does.
There's a reason she's on The Apprentice and Phil Neville isn't.
And after reading that book, I stocked up on shitloads of Borsan, so it worked. Even though I'm vegan. So she convinced me. I was like, all right, fair enough. Yeah, I'll take it. Prize number three. It's time for Most Shocking Moment. So this prize can be a shocking moment in a book or otherwise something one of us has said. Could be anything in the episodes, preferably the book. I know what my contender is. Anyone got a good suggestion for most shocking moment of the series?
I think for me, one of the most shocking moments of the series was when John Fashanu turned up in Craig Bellamy's book.
That's a good one. That is very good.
Entirely randomly during a negotiation for Craig Bellamy to move from Coventry to Norwich.
Yes.
Inexplicably, John Fashanu turns up in the middle of the negotiation. And Craig Bellamy has to say to Gordon Strachan, I'm so sorry. I have no idea why he's here.
All people know about this Craig Bellamy episode now is that it's got Glade and it's got John Fashanu negotiating a transfer for him. It is a wild ride.
People are going to be getting the book just based on that.
And they should.
To be honest.
It was a good read. It was a good read. That's a good one. My shout I was going to have was the Neil Warnock reveal in Dean Windass's book.
Yeah, that was big.
That was huge. When we read that with George Ellick, when it turned out, when Dean Windass slagged off Neil Warnock and then the next chapter was written by Neil Warnock. That was, I live for that. Wish I could feel that again. I've never felt anything like that.
The drama
again.
Was huge. That moment was pretty massive. Because also, he was horrible about it. He was awful.
Yeah.
And then literally on the next page, it was like, this bit's written by Neil Warnock. And yeah. Oh, God.
It wasn't like Paddy Kenny, like, affectionately talking about his naked balls. It was more like, he's a weird, specky idiot. I don't think he said any of those words, but it was something like that. Any other suggestions? The most shocking moment?
How sour the relationship turned between Michael Owen and Alan Shearer after the initial praise and loving.
That
was quite shocking, actually. Just the extent of it was quite shocking. And the text exchange, they really do not like each other. That was shocking.
As was, in a good way, the reparation of his relationship with Kevin Keegan. When it all
Is the ceremony best good shock? Or is it most shocking?
Well, talking of Owen, I'm surprised none of you have said the moment when I gave Michael Owen's second book a 3, which I think was the most shocking I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That was the most shocking moment. I mean, obviously we're gonna have some kind of public trial about that, right? That in the ceremony in this show, there must be some kind of public trial for James about that moment.
Yeah, I go to prison for that. I'm when the series ends.
I was going to say when Dean Windass watches Stan Collymore shave his ball sack, but James, you massively outdid that even.
With my 3?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm going to say, James, that 3 was one of the most shocking moments of my life, not just the series. It really...
I amazingly blocked it out of my head because of the last episode, but yeah, I was so angry.
That heartfelt speech that you gave, and then you dropped the bomb.
Is that the winner? Do I win a prize?
It's not a good prize.
You should feel terrible about winning this prize.
I've taken it home. It's my first ever prize of anything.
So. It's like a raspberry that you're winning here. raspberry.
I'm the winner, but I don't think we can play a clip from that because it was about 8, 9, 10 minutes of the episode. So we can't play that clip because it is a good 20 minutes me talking about that book to get the full reveal. However, let's play another clip from Michael Owen. This is Tash's favourite part of the book, Michael Owen's Q&As that he set himself. So the book has all these different chapters about his life, but they're broken up by a lot of Q&A sessions.
Lately, we hear a lot about the death of journalism and how the only pieces allowed to be written about celebrities are these like puff pieces. I think Michael Owen started this trend.
They are the softest questions to answer. Nothing.
They're not just soft. Like, listen at this. Do you really want to know whether Michael Owen had school dinners or sandwiches at school?
I do. What's the answer?
He had school dinners.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
His favourite meal in a restaurant, as he says, is salmon and broccoli at some point. If he has set himself these questions to answer himself, like, he could have at least like had interesting answers prepared to them. They're all so it's like salmon. Okay. One of them was, who was your best mate at school? Michael Jones. Who's that?
That means
literally nothing to me.
There's also a bit where he says, were you ever in trouble at school? A great moment where he can give a fun anecdote. Answer, no. I'm still thinking about the three. I'm still thinking about it.
I'm sorry,
oh my
Jack.
God.
I'm sorry,
oh my
Jack.
God.
I know it was a tough one to take. But, you know, today's the day where we can kind of revise everything on the show. It's the end of the season awards. It's a happy day. I'm trying not to get you down. Let's move quickly on to another biggie.
I don't know if I can. I actually don't know if I can. I feel really stressed and angry again.
It's another biggie. Prize for Best Supporting Actor. I'm using actor as a gender-neutral term. Can be. unlike the Oscars, we're much more progressive. We can use, mm-hmm. This can be actor or actress.
You know what? We are more progressive than the Oscars. I've often said that about us. That's a pull quote, isn't it? From The Athletic.
Yeah, I think. And the winner of our Best Supporting Actor is Moonlight. This award goes to people who have played an unexpected role in making the book come to life. Any of the books in this series. And the panel have decided upon nominees for this one. A panel of made up people who are me. I am every single member of that panel. I've got options for you here. So the nominees for Best Supporting Actor are Derek Fazakerley for his role in Michael Owen and Stephen Gerrard's book. He's a bad guy in it, but he played a big role.
He's
in
the
it.
Christoph Waltz, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
He's very good at playing a bad guy.
And he won two Oscars. Up until Brad Pitt, Christoph Waltz was the only actor to have won an Oscar for a Quentin Tarantino film.
What a dull fact.
Thank you very much. Anyone too? Anyway, that's kind of enough. Anyway, he's not for this award. Second one. So Derek Fazakerley is the first nominee. Michael Jones, Michael Owen's best friend, is the second nominee.
Yeah.
Barry Fry is our third nominee, of course. And finally, fourth nominee, Exploding Egg Girl from Alan Hansen.
Oh, God!
I think you've missed one. You've missed the one that I would have said.
I think
anyway.
You mean the panel have missed it, but
the panel. You, I'm talking you as a group term here.
Thank you. Yeah. As long as you respect that. Yeah.
But I would have said Billy Hughes from the Bruce book, the guy who stole his soul he stole for his career. He was going to be my guess.
What a riddle of a tongue twister of a sentence. But yeah. That is a good shout. All right, okay. The panel have convened, and they said Billy Hughes is the fifth nominee. It's unconventional, but that's what the Football Book Club End of Season Awards are all about. So who's winning?
Is it? Is that what it's about?
I'm not really too sure.
I've been
actually.
Trying to figure out what it's been about. So far, it's been about rage and being hot in these suits.
So who wins? Who wins out of that?
So I agree with Billy Hughes. Billy Hughes is great. I think, personally, you've got to give it to Exploding Egg Girl.
Explain who Exploding Egg Girl was again, Jack, just for people who don't know who
Exploding
he was.
Egg Girl was the entirely random segue, entirely random tangent in Alan Hansen's book. In a book about injuries where he talks about how, like, one player was once hit in the head with an egg, he talks about, inexplicably, decides to say, one girl once put a microwave in the egg, took it out,
what?
And then exploded.
Once put a microwave in the egg?
Oh, you know what I mean. An egg in the microwave. Egg in the microwave, and it exploded all over her, and she had third-degree burns. And it's horrible, and there's no reason for it, but it stayed with me.
Same. I mean, out of guilt, I feel like she's and, you know, the Oscars, you know, they love to, they love a sub-story. I feel like Exploding Egg Girl could be getting in there.
What about
that
moment where we turned the page in Karen's book and Barry Fry was there in a full suit at her wedding? Like, you know, they're a true double act.
He was. If Barry Fry hadn't been in that book, it would have been a fine book. But Barry Fry really brought out a lot of Karen Brady
in that
book. Yeah,
he did. I'll tell you what, he's what makes it, like, he's what takes it from cheese, tits and cleaning through to the actual masterpiece that it was.
Hmm. Karen Brady's book had Barry Fry, but Exploding Egg Girl book had an Exploding Egg Girl.
True that.
I really like the idea that Barry Fry has sort of like shouted this at Karen Brady. If it wasn't for me, your book would have been cheese, cleaning and tits.
James, you got the deciding vote, I think. Who is it? Barry Fry or Exploding Egg Girl?
It's got to be Exploding Egg Girl because it just makes me laugh so much. I'm sorry that it makes me laugh. I hope she's all right.
We all hope she's all right. But, you know, at the very least, she's won an award. So congratulations, Exploding
well
Egg
done,
Girl.
Well done, Exploding Egg Girl.
I've got to say, Exploding Egg Girl is not the award winner that we wanted, but she's award winner that we deserve in 2021.
Yeah, agreed. Here's an interesting award now. It's a new entry for this brand new ceremony. Every single one's a new entry. But we've shaken things up a little bit, a slightly different award. Prize number 5 of the night is called the Hindsight Award for Most Regrettable Score. So the hindsight award, this is for any books that looking back on we overmarked or undermarked. James.
Well.
Ooh.
Very interesting.
No.
Why don't you take this one, James? Why don't you talk about this one?
I stand by that, and that is not the one I'm going to choose. I'm never going to sway on that. I'm never, ever going to change my mind.
I think I agree with the three. I just don't agree with how you talk about it.
How I got to there.
Mm-hmm. How you got to the three.
Look, I found one segment interesting. I've said this so many times. I'm not repeating myself again. I'm going to justify myself. my most rebellious score, I've got two options. I think we overscored Steven Gerrard, which wasn't that good, and we gave it 6 or something like that, 6.6.
6.75 you gave it.
Is that what it was? Yeah, we gave that good memory. We gave that with Glenn. Not worth it. And I also think we overscored Mesut Ozil's book, which was about third or fourth. We gave 7.5, which I don't think looking back was that great.
See, I think we overscored Cammy and he got 7.5 as well.
Ah, it's interesting. I thought Cammy's at least was funny.
It was funny, yeah.
Ozil's wasn't funny enough for all the Zappiano's mentions.
Ozil's definitely got too high.
Ozil's got definitely. Too high. Let's
Ozil's
let's be
was
honest,
like
guys.
The Booker Prize of all the ones that we've done this year, I think.
Do you
this
think?
Very serious and very like stoic, and I didn't really get it, which I find with most award-winning books.
I found that with Michael Owen's third book, to be honest. I thought that was the most likely for a Booker Prize out of all of them.
He's not gonna shag you, James.
Well, he has already, so I don't care.
They put Jurassic Park on, they kick back.
You fell asleep immediately.
I can only get it up to Jurassic Park. I don't know why I said that. So, does Ozil win this award?
No, okay, look. I think Gerrard's was a bad book. I think it was a bad, overlong
What did we
book.
Score Gerrard's book?
Like
6.75.
Yeah, that's too high. That's too high.
Okay, they can both win. What do you think a better score for Gerrard's would have been overall?
5.
Yeah, 5. Between 4 and 5, personally.
Yeah, I'd say 4.5. And Ozil, what would we give that down from 7.25?
Oh, yeah. I think that's between a 5 and a 6 for me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Gerrard's gone down from 6.75 to 4.5, which is down 2.25. Ozil's is down.
We're actually changing this.
I'm doing it. Not in the record books, but I think Gerrard is the biggest fool. So Steven Gerrard has won the Hindsight Award. Congratulations, Steven. Your book wasn't as good as we said it was. And finally, for the first half of the award ceremony, we've got a prize that sadly you can't vote on. Again, this is another one decided by the panel beforehand. It's The Wisest Book, as sponsored by Maya Yoshida. Maya Yoshida, of course, second book we ever read. Extremely wise, but there's a new rival for Wisest Book. And that man is Neil Redfern. And his book, there's only one Neil Redfern, which asked incredible philosophical questions and posed the question no one's ever thought of to pose. Would Neil Redfern ever sign Count Dracula? So let's play in the clip and we'll have more awards after the break. Big question is, as Neil Redfern the manager, would I sign the young Neil Redfern?
I love this question so much.
No one's asked themselves that question in the books, I don't think.
This is
so
like the thing of like one hand clapping. It's genuinely like an existential crisis that he
yes.
asks himself here.
Yes.
And he really goes into it. Like
massively.
He really starts to push the idea of it. He's like, well, Neil Redfern the player would be angry that he wasn't playing that much, but Neil Redfern the manager would coax him and calm him, and he would know that he's got a special player on his hands. It's beautiful.
It does, but then it gets weird. After all that kind of bit, he says, if I rubbed him the wrong way, he'd have a headache. I could always get rid of him if things didn't work out. If Count Dracula was the best striker in the world, a guaranteed 30 goals a season man, I'd sign him. It might upset people. Why have you brought Dracula? But it would be up to me to find a way to make people like him for as long as I needed him. When it served his purpose, I'd move him on.
Where would you move him on to?
Back to Transylvania, I guess.
Ship him off.
That's Neil Redfern clutching at like an evil person. Hypothetically, to sign anyway. Who's the most evil person? Well, it's Dracula, obviously.
But who would upset people? Are you going to get really upset?
Fans on the Facebook page Neil. Like, I'm boycotting. While Dracula's playing, I'm not going.
And then Dracula wins them over with like a particularly good social media post. And they're like, I'm not even a fan of Dracula, yes. But fair play, that is class. Also, very quickly, Dracula would be rubbish at being a striker because he hates crosses.
Very, very true.
That's very really true. Good. And the rest of us should hang our heads in shame.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, hello there. What voice do you want me to do? We will do a little bit. I'll just do my voice.
Do your voice.
Yeah, thanks.
Hello, I'm Joe Marler. People think I hate people, but I don't. I actually love interaction with people. I love finding out what jobs they do and whether I could do what they do. The Joe Marler Show.
Joe Marler Show.
With new episodes every Wednesday.
Welcome back to the Football Book Club End of Season Awards. Hey, guys. Wow, the music has changed dramatically. Well, this is the second half.
Umpire,
when we...
motherfucker!
We let our hair down. We let our hair down the second part.
The jackets are off, baby.
Yeah, everyone's had a few drinks. James, did you get some olives just now?
Yeah, I got some olives. It's an awards show, isn't it? I need olives.
The waiter brought them over.
We are back in with a big prize, guys. This is a big one. The best moment in a book this series. I'm opening it to the floor. What was the best moment in a book this series, would you say? It can be anything you mentioned before as well.
I really did enjoy the moment because I felt it gave me a window into his life when Dean Windass went to the Belfry. And he's with Karen Brady's husband, Paul, and they're doing shots between each hole on the course. And then he, like, hides around a corner and poos and comes back. And I just I just loved that moment because I felt like,
he
was really
that.
Telling us his truth.
It really has become Larry again.
Yeah, that's your best moment.
Because if I said to you, one of the books that we've read this year has this chapter in, you'd immediately know it was him, wouldn't you?
Urzel.
Okay, to go for a different tact in the same book, the mental image of Peter Schmeichel going around was it Stoke? It was Stoke.
Stoke.
And
second
then getting a room that was
Keele University. That was it. Keele University. Yeah.
Getting a room that was too small for him, and then just screaming.
That was a very minor. This Dean Windass book had a real impact on me, but I guess that's why it scored so highly. So many memorable moments from it.
I have a couple. I have one, which is Martin Keown, who was probably about 35 at this point, just knocking on Stephen Gerrard's door, 17, and going, do you want to go shopping in London? That just made me laugh a lot.
That is good.
And then I actually think Mohamed El-Fayed offering Chris Kamara the job of like press secretary.
That was
what was the job?
That was
what
it.
What was the job? It was something
that was it. It was obviously press like press secretary.
Ah, yeah, it just made me laugh a lot.
That was incredibly bizarre. That was unlike anything we've ever really had. I think something we mentioned before is my favourite of the whole series. I wonder if it's yours. I think the Spice World premiere is the greatest moment any book we've done so far. Peter Schmeichel, Giggsy, I think was there.
Jordy Cruyff.
Not Beckham, weirdly. Yeah.
Not Beckham.
Both Nevilles. And Sir Alex Ferguson watching Spice World, the movie. I think that's the moment that's going to live with me forever.
So good.
I think it's there. So, I mean, I'm open to the floor. What do you think? Jack, who was the winner out of all those nominees?
Yeah, you know what? Give it to Spice World. Give it to Spice World.
I'm saying Spice
World. When in doubt, give it to Spice World.
There we have it. Spice World, the movie, wins. Let's play a little clip from that episode.
Can you just mentally imagine this? He says that he's in the cinema watching the Spice World film and at the same time is the boss, Peter, Teddy, Geordie, Ollie and Ryan.
Alex Ferguson was there.
Yeah, Alex Ferguson was there. That's the bit that stood out to me.
Wait, go through that again. Alex Ferguson.
The
Peter
boss,
Schmeichel. Yeah.
Peter Schmeichel. The son, Teddy.
Geordie Cruyff, the son of Johan Cruyff. He should be kept away from that.
Ryan Giggs,
yeah.
Teddy Sheringham.
Yeah.
Oh, and Beckham, all... obviously.
No, Beckham wasn't there.
Why wasn't Beckham there?
He was at the premiere, wasn't he? Yeah.
I've seen it.
Lads, I can sort you out some tickets to cinema tonight. Oh, yeah, what are we going to see? It's not going to be Spice Girl. Spice World. No.
Something else. Yeah. It'll be Titanic.
Can you imagine walking into, like, Salford Odeon and they're all sat there and amazing. Absolute scene.
I just can't imagine a team meeting where Sir Alex Ferguson is watching Spice World.
Next up, guys, it's the Lorenzo Amoruso Prize for Best Cover. Lorenzo Amoruso, the sexiest man in the world, who, of course, has a very good cover, which is his face is zoomed in on 50 times.
He's got a good face.
He does.
We've got to start with Karen Brady's, right?
We have.
Karen Brady's has to be top.
See, I think that could be the winner straight away. I can't think of any good rival to that.
Because even the typeface is cool, but then she's like, you know, seductive.
Yeah, describe it for us, Tash. Describe the picture again.
So I haven't even got it in front of me, but I can do it fully from memory. She sat crouched, one knee up, gorgeous retro now football kit on. So she looks very trendy. She looks like she'd be on one of those niche Instagram accounts, leaning on a football. And it just says, Karen Brady plays the blues in a beautiful font next to her.
Gorgeous. Can you say that all again? I'm going to play the sexy music under it. Let's do it.
We should also mention Alan Hansen's strange...
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tash loved the pictures in that book.
I thought he was wearing a Wolverine adamantium claw for a long time.
Someone mentioned on Instagram and said exactly the same thing. They were like, I also thought it was Wolverine's claw. I was like, well, have you got the book?
Yeah.
And also just a random moose head thrown in there as well. Yeah. Like someone clearly with like 5 minutes to go is like, okay, clip art. We'll put a trowel in. Cool, it's fine.
Well, I told you I tracked them down and they're all still in work, so it did them some good.
It's true, and I think Owen's book, the first one, gets a shout out for being the biggest book I've ever seen in my life. It's
just huge.
For being a GCSE physically. Textbook.
It is bloody huge.
His face is the size of my face, genuinely.
Yep, it's bigger.
Do you know what? If we're giving Owen one, which, you know, he probably deserves one, seeing as he's a third of the series or something. If we're giving him a runner-up prize, the third book looks like, you know, some sort of Matrix hackers vibe.
Yeah.
Born Identity or something.
I think the winner has to be, as we said, Lorenzo Amoruso, or best cover, goes to Karen Brady.
Of course it does.
Next prize, quick one here, most dated. For the most dated moment of all the books, it was between Chris Kamara for mentioning Hole in the Wall, Del Winton TV show, Chris Kamara for describing how to play a video on YouTube, or the entire Neville's book. And the winner, of course, was Chris Kamara for Hole in the Wall. So let's play a little clip of that now. There's actually a really great note I've got on page 39, really early on, where he talks about the genesis of Unbelievable Jeff, and he names some of the great catchphrases with it. Bruce Forsyth used to open the Generation game with the words, nice to see you, nice. And Dale Winton was forever saying, bring on the wall, during Saturday Night Favourite, Hole in the Wall. The two great catchphrases, Hole in the Wall and Bruce Forsyth. Was Cammy on Hole in the Wall?
He probably must have been.
He
surely. I imagine that as soon as Hole in the Wall started, he was like, this is going to run and run.
He was thinking, like, in 10 years' time, if someone records a podcast on my book, they're all going to be saying, oh, God, tragic. It's just, sadly, Dale Winter's dead since. Anyway. It's a fact. He died when I was in Sri Lanka.
Where were you when Del Whitton died?
Chris Kamara loves the hole in the wall. There we go. Getting towards the big one, guys. We're getting towards the big prizes of the night. And the next prize is prize 10, the Paddy Kenny Award for Funniest Book. Guys, what do you think was the funniest book we read this series? It can be unintentionally or intentionally.
My vote would go to my beloved Dean.
Michael Owen in person was quite funny as well, just because it was like the kind of smash hits-esque style.
It was so lazily put together that it was very funny.
His Q&As were very funny.
So who are we going for? Windass, Brady, or Owen?
Owen cannot win an award for being the funniest in any list.
Agree.
So I think we can discount him.
I'll go Dean if you want, Tash. I'm prepared to be swayed by that.
I think I'll have to go Dean as well. Just a very funny guy.
Yeah.
And his son calls someone a duck egg at one point. It's brilliant.
That wasn't enjoyable. That seals it. Dean Windass has won it. Let's play a clip from that episode. Here's George Ellick talking about Dean's unusual relationship with peas. He's working the bird's eye factory for quite a lot at the beginning of the book, packing peas and stuff. And
I love that bird.
Which is,
it's amazing that his relationship with peas is just absolutely remarkable.
It goes through so many different layers. It's so weird.
I didn't realise there was so much work went into preparing a bag of bird's eye peas.
It was a bit, because he moves on from peas to rice, and then he says, like, by the end of it, I couldn't look at a curry.
Yeah.
Like, that's how traumatised he was by having to go through all of this rice packing.
This was, like, one of the bits that I kind of was just so perplexed by, where it seems the way he talks to the reader is as if we all know the relationship with peas and rice in a peas and rice factory. one of my favourite lines in the whole book is when he says, they say that football is the land of milk and honey, but my road to success was covered in rice and peas. It's just unbelievable. I mean, it's just so great. The rice was pissing me off just like the peas had done. It's just absolutely amazing.
I got
what a turn of phrase.
As we all do, I got pissed off with rice.
Right, everyone, it is time for the penultimate prize of the night. The prize that no one wants to win. This is the equivalent of the Razzies. It's the worst book. Previous series winners, even though we haven't had the awards, would have been Jermaine Pennant and Andy Gray, I think, were the two previous winners. We go by the leaderboard. Alan Hansen's Strangest Injury is worst. You've also got Michael Owen's first two books and Steve Bruce's book around there. What are we saying, guys? Definitively, it doesn't have to be the one that's bottom. Which one are we saying is the worst book that you read this series?
Well, I think Alan Hansen's was bottom. It doesn't really count as a book, does it, Alan Hansen?
This is how I feel. It's basically a series of Wikipedia articles stitched together.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we're talking about the actual formula of a football autobiography, then that doesn't count. That's not part of it.
Okay. I'm prepared to bow down to that. So Alan Hansen, which was bottom at the end of the series, has now...
It's so bad that we're discounting it.
It's just gone.
I think my vote would have to go to Steve Bruce. It was so boring.
I agree. I think
very dull.
I think I know what you mean, because usually, like with the Razzies and stuff like that, they don't often go for what is actually the worst film. They usually go for the ones that are kind of most high profile bad ones. So
I mean, it was so bad that I think I spent 15 minutes kind of retelling it as if it was Vanity Fair, because I was just, I needed to give myself something to get
through
it.
Make up your own book.
So absolutely, Steve Bruce's is very bad, but it does feature the best dramatic reading.
That's
therefore,
what brings it up.
Therefore, can we really call it the worst book? I would argue something like Michael Owen's second book is irredeemably bad.
I'm glad you brought that up, because if I had brought that up, I can imagine the chaos.
You know what? You shouldn't be in this conversation.
Your vote doesn't count on this panel.
Your vote doesn't count.
Because
you're about to go, oh, actually, no, guys. I thought it was really good. It was a really good bit. Let me spend 10 minutes talking about how good it was.
I am panel, host, and executioner, and I can kick everyone. My vote counts three. Yeah, but I would say that was... And even Mike Owen agrees it was probably the worst book as well. It sounds like...
Yeah, I think having read three, where he goes in hard against two, you are a bit like, well... I don't know. For me, that's the worst book.
I think you're right. Michael Owen, off the record, was probably the worst book of the series. Everyone agrees?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so difficult to read. Yeah,
it was.
It took me a long time.
It really was.
Sorry, Michael. But, you know, we loved Reboot, but that one is a stinker. And finally, everyone, we've reached it. We've reached the big prize of the night. The Darren Huckabee Shoe for best book of the series. Da 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 da. We know what finished top of the pile at the end of the series. It was jointly Dean and Karen. But today I'm going to push you for, doesn't actually want those two, but I want one name we're going for the best book of the series in the awards.
Oh,
Jack,
it's hard.
I can see your deep in thought, so I'm going to go to you first. I want to hear your process.
Oh, great. Well, okay. The best footballer's autobiography or footballing autobiography book, I would say, probably can't include Karen Brady.
I think you could be right for the same way we did.
Because
it doesn't really fit with the series, does it? It doesn't really fit.
But equally, I think it's the best book we've read.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with that.
Therefore, who are we to judge what really makes a football book?
We are.
I think.
Are we? Do we dare call ourselves gods of these worlds?
Yeah, I've been saying that on my Twitter.
I feel like we learned a lot about the football industry.
We did.
From the other side, you know?
We did.
This is the thing, but then perhaps the reason that we enjoyed it so much was it was novel in that sense.
A novel, novel.
A novel, not well, yeah.
That's Gary and Phil's dad.
Damn it,
I was so close. So close to saying that.
Gary novel. I think if we have to have some kind of distinction, I would say on a technicality, Dean Windass is a better footballing book as a result.
I would agree, but it's so short. That's one of the problems for me. It was a great book, but it was so short. My one I'm chucking into the ring, and I don't think you'd be surprised, Michael Owen Reboot. Generally thought was the best book of the series that we read. I know you guys might not agree, but that was my one. That was my favourite book of the series. James, was that yours as well? Sound like?
I agree with Jack. I think Karen Brady's is the best book overall. But if we're just talking on classic football autobiographies, I loved Craig Bellamy's book.
Oh, that was another good suggestion.
Wow. I loved it.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. And it was a proper book. It was big and it was long.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was...
That's
you know,
what she said.
That's what Michael said.
It's that it's that time of the night, you guys.
Wow. So Jason McAteer would have won the first series we had. Second series would have been won by Grant Hull, I think, would have won the second series.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Both good, chunky footballers' autobiographies, a lot of things in there. So I like the shout with... That's why I like Bellamy and I like Owen. Windass's was a novella to me. You know, it was like The Old Man and the Sea. But,
and that was good. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, in fairness, like that's about as high praise
as you
can probably get.
Do you know what?
So Dean Windass is the Hemingway of football, is what you're saying.
Yeah. What an insult. Also, can I just say, I do not like this attitude of let's punish short books. Because I am not going to be... I do not like the idea that we are like rewarding really, really long books. Please
We like them short, please.
Like
Thank
them
you.
Nice and
Especially
short.
When it's Steven Gerrard's. And it's
Do you know what, guys? The winner is Alan Hansen's Strangest Football Injuries.
So what are we going for? Let's finally vote for the big one, the big prize. Remember, this is important. Tash, what are you going to go for?
Karen, I love you so much, but my vote goes to Dean.
Jack, what are you going for?
I think it's got to be Dean as well. It's got to be Dean. I liked Reboot, but I still had problems with it. I didn't mind Bellamy, but I still had problems with it. Dean felt like the most cohesive and exciting book.
Okay. James, you didn't read Dean's.
I didn't read Dean's. But it sounded funny. Maybe I would have,
so
maybe
go
I would have
that?
Gone this way. But since it's clearly going to Dean anyway, I'm going to give an honorary vote to Craig Bellamy.
I'm going to give mine... I could get to Bellamy to throw... Oh, I could to be an adventure. No, I'm going to give it to Owen. I've got to go in my heart. Owen Reboot was my favourite. So Dean Windass has won the book.
Yes!
Dino.
Love you, Dean.
His book of the series.
You duck egg.
You duck egg for winning the big prize of the night. So that's the end of the awards and the end of the series, guys. Are you happy or sad, Tash, or both?
I'm very sad that it's ended, but I'm very happy that I won't have to set this bloody microphone up again.
That is a very, very good point. Big question, I ask it every week, a slightly different one this week. Did this series change you?
Yeah, definitely. And I can't say why. I'm just a different man.
I like that. It really felt like, I really felt that that's true. I mean, people can't see, but I'm looking into your eyes and you really did kind of glaze over in it.
They've both come very close to the mic, the cameras. They're really close to kissing now, actually.
Bomb chicka wow wow.
Jack said it a few weeks ago, and I think it's all down to this series. He said, James, you have become a better man in the time that I've known you.
Yeah, I feel there's been a lot of personal growth from this. I'm very proud of us all for reading so many books, and a lot of them will stick with me for a very, very long time. And I hope everyone enjoys going back over them and listening to them again if you want to. And if you haven't heard them before, I hope you really enjoy them. Jack and Tash, you permanently changed.
Yeah, I'm never gonna microwave an egg.
on an earnest level, it's been really good to do during the C word, because, you know, it gives you something to kind of... I never thought that I'd be spending my evenings looking forward to reading the Neville's autobiography, but turns out when there's a global pandemic, it's like the most exciting thing in my week. So yeah, it's been great.
And that's why Steve Bruce was such a letdown, because it made the whole lockdown worse.
Yeah, you're right. I know what you mean.
I would like to also clarify that if it wasn't for the pandemic, I wouldn't be talking to anybody.
Good to clear that up. We will be back later in the year, guys. We'll be back with another series later on. Yay! But in the meantime, we'll be releasing an episode a month exclusively for Football Book Club club members at patreon.com/footballbookclub. We're also going to do 20 minutes extra from this episode going over on the Patreon as we dish out three more awards. To get in touch, make sure you follow us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. We're at Twitter, what are we, at Footy Book Club. Instagram, we're at Football Book Club. And we're on Facebook. Thank you to everyone here for reading the book. Guys, you've all been brilliant. Thank you for reading all these books. I appreciate all your time, as always, and for being so funny every week with some difficult material to get through at times.
Thank you for picking such wonderful novels for us to read.
We tried very hard.
I know, genuinely, we often make fun of you, and we're sort of very angry towards you.
And you stand by it.
I genuinely want to say, right, I'm trying to be serious, okay?
You duck egg.
I thought I knew what was coming then. I thought you were about to say, fuck you for giving him a 3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like you could tell what I was going to say.
There's so many things that Jack's been they've been building.
But no,
the
for real, James, if I was rating you out of 10, you could have a 9.5.
Oh wow, that's the highest score ever. Ooh. For a book.
No. Okay, if we're rating James, we would say he's a really, really good guy. He's fantastic. I really, really like him. He's terrific. He's so good. He's one of the best people I've ever met. It's a 3.
Thank you for your kind words. You really didn't have to say that, but we've loved it. Thank you everyone for listening in. It's been so much fun as always, and we love talking to all of you and reading these books for you and with you, and we love all the things you message to us all the time and all the enthusiasm you give us throughout the series. It really helps us carry on and crack on with it. Thank you so much. I feel like there's no any last words for it, because duck eggs seem to sum it all up entirely. Let's all do a big goodbye and a book maybe. See us out.
Yeah,
goodbye everyone.
Book.
Thanks for listening to Football Book Club Series 3. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, Natasha Daniels and James Balgen. It was created by James Bug and it was a Crowd production. The theme music, Hills Behind, is the work of Silent Partner and is using the Creative Commons 4.0 license. Thanks to all the authors who wrote books this series, even Michael Owen for a second run. We've loved reading them, and thanks to all our brilliant guests who've come on. And thank you to you guys for listening. We'll be back later in the year, but for now, thank you so much and see you soon. Goodbye.
Crowd Network. A place where you belong.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.